Well, we've been talking about the year of alignment, this being the year of alignment, things getting in line this year. And we talked about getting in alignment with our assignment, right? Are y'all getting tired of hearing about that yet? Okay, good, because you're going to hear about it some more unless the Holy Spirit moves us in a different direction. How many enjoyed Dan Foley here last week? How many got to participate in that? Like I said, first time that I've ever done anything like that. I talked to him a little bit about it. He was very grateful to be given that opportunity to share, you know, what he believes is his assignment in the earth. You know, he's got two books out, and some of y'all got to see his latest book, Cracking Heaven's Code, God's System for Restoring Abundant Health. And we talked about, you know, a little bit about why abundant health is important. Not only is it important, I believe it's, you know, God speaks about it. He speaks about it. You know, if you've been coming here any time, we talk about it. We're a three-part being, right? We're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We live in a body. And we have a soul. Well, you know, you can't neglect and totally ignore one part of that being. You can't do that and expect to be healthy. And we want to be healthy in all three areas. Amen? There's three words in his title of that book that really caught my eye not for the first time. I mean, I knew that was the title of the book. But it's God's System for Restoring Abundant Health. He's a God of restoration. He sent Jesus to die for our abundant life, our abundant health. And he is definitely interested in our health. And we shared a scripture, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. I'll just read it. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And that original Greek word, health, means properly, in good working order, in sound condition, in balance, working well, to be free from debilitation, that is an incapacity or a handicap, to be functioning holistically with all parts working together. In other words, sound. Sound. He says, "I wish that you may prosper and be sound in all things." I believe he wants us to be healthy so that we can better serve him. You know, we talked about that. And something that was said this morning kind of made me giggle. But you won't get the context of it, so I can't repeat it. Sorry. That was just for me. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, so he's talking about abundant health. I mean, I believe God wants us healthy. I mean, how many think that if Abraham wasn't healthy, he wasn't going to be able to procreate at 100 years old? Or Sarah at 90, for that fact, right? I mean, how would Caleb be able to go and take his mountain back at the age of 85? You know? Now, I know there's spiritual aspects to that, too. I'm not discounting that. But if he's physically unable, he would not have been able to go and take his mountain back. So it is a part of what we need to focus on. We're a three-part being. When God says do it, I want to be well able to do it. Amen. Don't you? Yes. Spirit, soul, and body. When God says do something, I want to be well able to do it. That means I got to be prepared. Right? I have to be prepared physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know, sometimes God doesn't reveal the whole picture up front because spiritually you're not mature enough to handle it. Let me say that again. Sometimes God won't show you the whole picture up front because you're too spiritually immature to handle it. That's why we say we sow faith, grow in righteousness. We want to grow people up in righteousness so that they are spiritually mature to handle God's assignment for them. Amen? We must be healthy spirit, soul, and body. And we must keep our priorities in line. We know that we're to seek the kingdom of God first. If you've been in the Word at all for any time, seeking the kingdom of God is first and should be first place in your life. But how many know that it's easy to get out of line with that? Well, the enemy certainly wants to make it easy for us to get out of line of seeking the kingdom first, placing God first in our life, his kingdom, given it priority and first place in our life. So as we talk about this, and I'm just recapping, I just wanted to kind of emphasize what we talked about last week and recap. As we talk about this, we have to keep it in perspective. Keep first things first. Kingdom of God is first. We're a three-part being. I believe that we're to build up our body, our soul, and our spirit. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8, and I shared this last time, tells us what is priority. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come." And God just showed me something in that. You know, when we train physically, it's only going to benefit our body. Right? If we train or promote mental health, that's only going to affect our mental. But if we train spiritually, he says right here, it's promised for this present life. It's going to affect everything. That means it's going to affect our physical and our mental when we train spiritually. Do you see the hierarchy there? The order of things? And then Kelvin, I remembered this when you, I don't know how long ago you shared it. I think it was back in the growth class, Sunday morning. And this is not verbatim, but this is how I remember it. You said, "How much time and effort and money do we give for our physical training or our health? How much for our mental training or health, but how much for our spiritual health? We invest all," and I don't know if that's exact, but I think that was the gist of, you know, we invest all this time, and how many people have invested in body training programs, videos, tapes? How much money, you know, I don't know what, I can't remember the figure, $2 billion, $6 billion industry it is for exercise. How much money and time and effort do we invest in our body? And then how much do we give to our spirit man? You see, we can get out of balance. We can get out of balance that way. And I believe the Lord is saying, look, put first things first. Put first things first. I'll give you the time and you can put your effort into training your body and training your mind, if you will, and learning and education. But put me first. Give me first place in your heart. Amen. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. And this is really what I want to get to today. That was just kind of a recap. Again, I hope you received from Dan. He really did count it such an honor and a blessing to be here with us. And like I said before, there's a lot of information packed in his material. And you just got to take time to unpack it. But I believe that he has insight, biblical insight, into our physical health. I really do. I that's not a carte blanche statement. You know, you gotta take it for you. But I know he is blessed, and I'll say it again for those that weren't here. He has blessed my life by allowing me as a local pastor to come and train in his gym for free. And you know, that's personalized training for me, and it has benefited me physically, which allows me, I believe, to do what God has called me to do better at a higher level. So I want to bless him, you know. I mean, and he doesn't ask for any of that. He didn't ask to come. So anyways, that's enough. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you. Acts 3, are you there yet? Let's look at verse 19. And that song that we sang, Turn It Around, that was, I just believe, I love how the Holy Spirit kind of meshes everything together. Even in the class today, I'm amazed every Sunday just about how when we come and come to the prayer class, to the growth class in the morning, how things come up that the Holy Spirit has shared with me that I intend to share with you if he allows me to. And it just all kinds of weaves together. I love how that happens. And it doesn't matter who's teaching, whether it's Kelvin or Wanda or anybody else. It happens often. I won't say every time, but it happens often where the Holy Spirit just weaves these things in together. And one is confirmation for me, and two, it's just hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing. So we're hearing the same thing back and forth over and over. Amen? Are you at Acts 3 yet? All right, let's look at verse 19. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic. I'm sorry, Tim. I know we don't have the classic back there, but we'll get as close as we can. It says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing," let me repeat that, "times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord." And I know that he's speaking to a Jewish crowd here. And I know that he's talking about Jesus. And if they would believe on him, that times of refreshing would come. But listen, Jesus came to bring those times of refreshing for everyone. For everyone. And that's what I want to talk about today, is times of refreshing. If you need a turnaround in your life, if you need a time of refreshing in your life, you need it now, because we are in some days. We are in some times. And we need to be refreshed. Amen? There are seasons. Listen to this. There are seasons of trials and tribulations. Why do I say seasons? Trials, tribulations, they're going to come. But they don't have to stay. It's a season. It's a season. And Jesus came to give us a time of refreshing out of that season. Does that make sense? God made a way out through times of refreshing. And there will always, this should encourage you today, no matter how long you've been dealing with something, no matter what you're going through, there are always going to be times of refreshing. Always going to be times of refreshing in your life. And we should never, ever, 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 ever accept defeat. Ever. How many, we got any ball players in here? Anybody play baseball, football, any kind of competitive sport in your youth, younger days? Do you remember those days, Dusty? You do? So how many people have ever been in that situation? Let's just take baseball, for example. I played baseball, I played football, I wrestled, I goofed off with soccer a little bit, and goofed off with track just a little bit. But my three main sports were football, baseball, and wrestling. And how many can remember, and maybe you follow baseball, maybe you've got a favorite team, maybe you never played, but you follow baseball. How many has ever been on the field, say in the first one, two, three innings, and your opponent scores 10 runs, and it's 10-1, 10-0. Well, what does that do for you and your team? Kind of deflates you a little bit, doesn't it? It kind of makes you think that it's insurmountable. There's no way we're going to overcome 10 runs in the next few innings to win this game. I mean, am I the only one that's been there? Denny, you ever felt like that? Yeah. You get that attitude about you. You get that air of defeat. And you can see it on the whole team. I mean, their face, their countenance falls. Their shoulders slump. They don't run out and spring out to their position, They're just kind of moping out to their position when the inning's over. They get up to bat, and they're not poised and ready. They're just, digging in the sand and kicking their feet. And it affects you. When someone gets that big of a lead on you, it affects you. It becomes insurmountable. I believe, listen, let's take this over into the spirit realm. I believe that is a tactic of the enemy. One, to get you down. Two, to kick you while you're down. and to get so far ahead, to make things seem so insurmountable that you admit defeat. Because he knows if he can get you to admit defeat, if he can get you not only to think it, but to speak it, wow. What does the Bible say? The power of life and death are in the tongue. If he can get you to speak death, you know, if he can get you to speak defeat, he's got you. He knows that. It's a tactic of his. And he uses fear a lot to do that. But I love, and I love this phrase. I don't know if he came up with it. I'm giving him credit for it. But Pastor Rob, when he says, me be defeated, impossible. If God is for you, who can be against you? What can man do unto you? What can man do unto you if you are a child of God? Is there anything too hard for our God? Genesis puts it. What can man do unto you? I'm telling you, some of us are walking through some dark places, and we don't need to be. We don't need to be. We have everything that attains to life and happiness on the inside of us already. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have everything on the inside of you to live in victory. I'm not saying that those trials and tribulations won't come. They will. But you have everything on inside of you to be victorious and to come out of those things. You have everything on the inside of you not to admit defeat, not to let the enemy get so far ahead that it starts to affect you and your countenance and your spirit man. You have everything inside of you. Well, how do you access these times of refreshing that we all need? We all need times of refreshing, don't we? How do we access it? Well, through faith. We access these times of refreshing through faith. Faith in God and in the name of Jesus. You're in Acts chapter 3 still, I hope. Let's back up to verse 12. And let's get some context around what we're talking about, these times of refreshing. And again, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says in verse 12, it says, "And Peter, seeing it, answered the people, 'You men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering?'" Now, this is where the man at the gate, beautiful, they, you know, Peter and John came up to him. He says, "You know, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give unto you, and that's the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." That's the scene here, right? That's what just happened. And then Peter starts addressing the crowd there. He says, "You men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us? As though by our own individual power or act of piety, we have made this man able to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant and son Jesus, doing him this honor, whom you indeed delivered up and denied and rejected and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had determined to let him go. But you denied and rejected and disowned the pure and holy, the just and blameless one, and demanded the pardon of a murderer to be granted to you. But you killed the very source, the author of life, whom God raised from the dead, and to this we are witnesses. And his name, through and by faith in his name, has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong." Yes, the faith which is through and by him, that is Jesus, has given the man this perfect soundness of body before you all, before all of you. "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, not aware of what you were doing, as did your rulers also. Thus has God fulfilled what he foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ, the Messiah, should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord." You see, we must exercise and train our spirit man. How? By using the name of Jesus, by walking in the authority that His name gives us, by decreeing and declaring the word of the Lord. But we must first put it in for it to come out. You see, Peter was telling him, why are you looking at us? You know, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one that allowed this man to get up, walk, and leap for joy. Don't look at us. Don't look at the man. Look at the Savior. If you need a turnaround, if you need a time of refreshing, He is the one that is bringing the time of refreshing. He's brought it already, really, and you just need to tap into it with your faith in the name of Jesus, your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, your faith that Jesus died, was resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, always, forever, interceding on your behalf. Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. How do we activate those times of refreshing? It's by faith. By faith in what Jesus provided on the cross. You know, we're talking about getting in alignment with our assignment, getting things in line. This year, this is a year of alignment. How many no, and I think I've used this example before, but if you're building a structure, a building, and, you know, first you have a foundation, we know that. But if you want that building to be square, and that means just in a line, really, if you will, you know, how many know what a parallelogram looks like? Go back to your elementary, no, what day, maybe elementary days, I don't know, middle school, high school. Some of you don't even know what a parallelogram is. Let's see if I can do it. Yeah, no, I can't. No. Okay. How many don't want your house to look like a parallelogram? You want it to look like a rectangle or a square, right? Or a multiple of rectangles put in different ways. And some people, there's, y'all seen that house on, yeah, the round houses, you know. Okay, we're not talking about circles. We're talking about, if you want your house to be in alignment, to be what we call square, you have to start that first corner, and it has to be square. If you get that first corner out of all catawack, calawankas, messed up, the rest of your building is not going to be sound. It's not going to be square. And if you build upon that, okay, let's say you don't catch that, and you build upon that, and you're going to have a parallelogram or something, you know, polygon or something. Huh? I'm showing my ignorance in math, aren't I? So, if you continued to build that structure and you got it all finished and somebody looked at it and said, oh, Todd, yeah. Woo! Boy, you better go back to school. What do you have to do if you want it square? There's no fixing it at that point. You've got to tear it down and get back down to the foundation. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Amen. There are some things we are... The body of Christ is suffering in some areas because their structure is not sound. And they've got to tear down some things and get back to the foundation and build it upright. And what is our foundation? Christ. Jesus. We're up here wanting to build all these fancy roofs with these, you know, architectural design shingles and these portico. What's that thing at the top? Huh? Come on, help me. Rich, help me. You know that little thing that juts out on the roof? Dormer. We want to build all these fancy structures up on top, and man, not the foundation, but what we've built on the foundation is not square. It's not a line. Am I helping anybody today?
Remember I said something? It's been a few weeks ago. How we have to take in the whole counsel of God. We can't make a doctrine out of one verse here and one verse there and one verse here. When you do that, that's like building that fancy roof on top of a structure that's not square. You're getting way ahead of yourself. And sometimes we got to tear that down and get back to the foundation of Jesus. Put first things first. Amen? Amen. I do want to touch base on this in talking about times of refreshing and talking about faith in the name of Jesus and talking about walking in the authority that His name gives us and talking about decreeing and declaring some things. We're endeavoring to put together a packet. Missy has been so faithful in putting together Wanda's vision for Operation School Guard. And what that is, some of you, I've made mention of it. But we're putting together a resource, really, for you to tap into, just to keep it before your eyes, about the children in our schools here in the New River Valley. And the reason I'm talking about this is, we must understand the times. Right? I mean, if you recall, you know, what Jesus said, you Pharisees, I mean, you can discern the sky. You can look at the sky and see the clouds and tell it's going to rain, but you can't discern the times that you're in. We need to discern the times that we're in. And I just believe in my heart that as in the days that we are in, you can argue whether these are the last days or the last of the last days or the very end of the end times. I'm not here to discuss that, but we can discern the season, the time that we are in. And I believe there is an attack on our young ones. I believe that. I believe there's an attack. I believe, and we've talked about it, you know, the enemy wants to steal that seed. They want to steal that generation from us. So we are putting something together, Operation School Guard. They're going to be, you don't have one on you, do you? The book. Let's do that. Can you? Do you mind getting that just so I can have a visual with it? So we must understand the times that we're in, and I believe that this is a time where our children are under attack, like never before. The enemy wants their minds. He wants their minds. He wants to steal their minds. He wants to create a atmosphere of fear in them. Yeah, let me just give you an example. Just happened yesterday. So I'm talking with McKenna on the front porch. We're just having a conversation. I saw there was a spider come down, and I think she asked if it was poisonous. So then we got in this debate about, well, what's poisonous versus venomous, and so, you know, that went on into places. And I said, you know, there are only two kinds of venomous spiders in Virginia. Does anybody know what they are? Black widow, brown recluse. So that went over into snakes, because then we started talking about snakes. I said, you know, there's only three venomous snakes in Virginia. Do you know what they are? Copperhead, cottonmouth, rattle, timber rattler. Yep. Y'all are smart, man. I'm telling you what. Y'all paid attention in school. Why do I share that, and why did I go into detail with her about that? Can anybody answer that? To alleviate fear, yes, Beth Ann, so that every snake or spider that she walks up on, she's not fearful of. She knows. She has knowledge. Fear is one of the biggest tools of the enemy. Fear is what we have to get an upper hand on, and how do we do it? With faith. With faith. And I'm talking about faith in the name and the person of Jesus and what He has done for you and me. Man, you can take that to the bank. I mean, you can count on that every single time without failure. You can put your faith in that name. And there's power in that name. There's power in that name. So what we're doing as part of that, of walking in the authority that Jesus died to give us, is we are putting together these tools, these resources, and it's full of information. I'm telling you, it has information about our local school board, our superintendents, our school principals and their staff, how many students are in each school, and sample prayers, words, all contained in here just for your reference, because I believe that you have to keep something before your eyes. You know, because if not, I mean, again, it's just a tool. The enemy will cause you to be distracted and forget about what I believe is part of our assignment here. So if you can I be so bold if you trust that I hear from God for this body, then you'll take this seriously. You'll take it seriously. And I hope you do. So there's 42 or 44? 41. 41 of these that we're going to be giving out to individuals. And I don't want a married couple to take one. I think it needs to be individual. That's just, I know we didn't discuss that, but yeah. 20,000 students in the New River Valley. You know, we've been talking about, you know, taking the New River Valley. And so this is going to be part of our assignment, and we are getting in alignment with it. And I'm just, I can't say enough about it. Because, you know, prayer, we talk about prayer quite a lot here. You know, we've been saying prayer is a priority here at Christian Grove Center, right? I believe it's a common misconception that prayer is passive. I believe that's a common misconception by even born-again believers, that prayer is passive. It's not passive. Prayer is not. I see prayer as the most aggressive assault that we can make on the enemy. It's offensive. Prayer goes out ahead. It's our offensive attack on the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Why? Because, and this is because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. We are not fighting with our physical senses. We are fighting a spiritual battle that is going to be won spiritually. And prayer is part of that weapon going out ahead. It's not passive. And maybe you thought that way. I don't know. I mean, I think I had that mindset for quite some time. But my mindset has been changed when it comes to prayer. You know, I'm just telling on myself here, being transparent. I used to have difficult times praying. Not that I didn't know how or what. I mean, I knew I could just speak His word back to Him, but there was no, how can I say this? I just struggled in that area. It's about relationship, absolutely. The better your closer relationship is to your Father in heaven, the stronger, the more your prayer life will be. I believe that. But I believe it was a mindset too. You know, I just thought as prayer, you know, I'll pray for Uncle Joe, you know, he's down in his back today. Or I'll pray for Sister Susie, you know, she had a bad report, or so-and-so lost their job. You know, I mean, that prayer is so much more. So much more. You know, that's like a manager at a business always going out. You ever heard the statement, going out, putting out fires. You know, that's all they can do. That's all they have time for but you got to get out ahead. You know, that's where that, I think, passive prayer, you know, we're reactive prayer, I guess I should say. You know, you're praying, and there's good, that's good. You know, I'm not, somebody's going through something, they ask for prayer, you're going to pray for them. But this is aggressive prayer, going out ahead. And that's what we're going to do with Operation School Guard. We're going to go out ahead. We're going to pray over these schools. We're going to cover these schools and the administration, these students, in prayer in the name of Jesus. And it's going to be powerful. Again, because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. If we want access to attack them, we have to attack them in the realm of the Spirit. And I believe that's through prayer. We must use our spiritual weapons. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks to that. Let me read that for you. 2 Corinthians 10. Starting in verse 3. Says, "For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." You want to bring down strongholds in your life? You better pray. You want to see strongholds broken in our community? You better pray. You want to see plans of the enemy foiled? You better be praying. It's not a passive thing. It's the I wrote this. It's the biggest, you know, with all the gun stuff going, it's the biggest assault rifle that we have, and its ammunition is faith. Prayer is the biggest assault rifle that we own, and its ammunition is faith. You say you don't know how to pray. I just shared. I really didn't know how, or maybe it was, I don't know. I believe that that statement right there, if you say that, if you can say that, and I don't want to see, you know, hands raised, but if you're there, you say, "I just really don't know how to pray." That right there is the number one reason to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. If you don't know how to pray, that is the number one reason, I believe, right now to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because it says when you speak in tongues, you pray in tongues, you're uttering the things unto God, that He hears them as His perfect will for whatever situation you're praying about. When you don't know how you ought to pray, pray in tongues and you pray out the perfect will of God. Turns to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I believe I'm going to close with this. Is that what I wanted? Yeah, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will." So you see, baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us today. And I know there are other gifts that go with that, and we've talked about different ones at different times. But we're talking about praying. We're talking about praying for these kids. We're talking about praying over ourselves and over our families and over our brothers and sisters here. But if you don't know how you ought to pray, you can pray in tongues. And it'll be praying the perfect will of God out for that situation. Amen?
Amen.
So, to get back to times of refreshing, and we'll wrap this whole thing up. If you need times of refreshing in your life, you need but one thing, and that's faith in the name of Jesus. What did he do? He went to the cross, and he said out of his own mouth, "It is finished. It is finished." Everything that you have need of was wrapped up in Jesus and his death, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father. And if you have faith in that name, in that person, Jesus, if you have made him not only your Savior, but Lord of your life. Those are two different things. If you've made him your Savior, your eternal future is secure forever. You've made Jesus your Savior. You're born again. You're going to heaven. But he wants to be your Lord also. Lord of your life, of your everyday living. He wants to be Lord of your everyday living. Everything you do, everything you say, he wants to be Lord over it. Making first things first. I know it sounds simple. And it is simple. It's a simple concept. Sometimes difficult to walk it out, but I think we're the ones that make it difficult by adding all these other things unto us, being distracted with all these other things which life can easily throw at you, which, I don't want to give the enemy too much credit, but we allow ourselves to get into that stuff. He may be providing it. It may be provided for out there, but we don't have to step into it. It's a choice, right? I mean, if you want to have cable TV with 1,286 channels and watch every one of them, that's your choice. Don't blame the cable provider. Oh, I'm stepping on toes here. Chantel, I'm not talking about you. You see the point. You see what I'm saying? There are all kinds of things out there that you could get yourself into that will distract you from why you were created, why you're here on this earth, right? All kinds of things. All kinds of things to distract you, to keep you from exercising your authority in this earth. All kinds of things. Somebody say, I won't be distracted.
I won't be distracted.
I won't be led astray.
I'll keep my eyes on Jesus,
because he's the only way. Amen. Amen. So let's do that. Let's practice what we preach. Let's walk, one, in the love of God, and let's walk in faith in his name, understanding the power that comes with that name. But I like what the guy said to Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. There's power in the name. And there's a great responsibility to wield that name properly. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm the head and not the tail.
I'm
above and not beneath.
I'm
more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah.
We're going to keep saying that every Sunday. Y'all going to start believing it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you're not going to be just hearers of those words. You're going to be doers. You're going to start acting like the head and not the tail. You're going to start believing that you are above and not beneath. You're going to start understanding who you are in Christ, that you are more than a conqueror. Amen? And we're going to walk it out in this earth, and we're going to see some things changing. And I believe we're going to see some things changing in this New River Valley. I believe we're going to see some things changing right here in this local body. It's happening. It's happening. We have to discern the times that we are living in. We have to get in alignment with our assignment. And we've got to start walking this out. We've got to start doing it. Time is short. It's of the essence. Amen?
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are... You're stirring some things up. You're stirring some things up that have been inside of us, maybe have laid dormant for a while. It's not that we haven't heard or don't know, but you're stirring them up again inside of us for such a time as this. And we do. We have ground to take back. We are going to be taking ground back. The enemy has stolen much, but we're going to be recapturing and regaining and taking back what is rightfully ours. These children are ours. They are ours. The enemy has tried to steal them, has stolen. We're going to take back. We're going to take back. We're going to advance the kingdom of light, because the light pushes out the darkness. And we are the light in this world. So Lord, we don't take that lightly. We don't. It's important. It's important to us. I know it's important to you. So Father, just lead us. Continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit. The gift, that gift that you gave unto us. Your Holy Spirit, our advocate, our comforter, our standby, our helper. Jesus, when you left, you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. So we tap into that. We want to utilize that gift. We have to receive the gift and make use of it. So, Lord, help us to do that. Holy Spirit, show us, lead us, guide us, teach us. Teach us all things so that we may bless the world around us. And how do we bless it? By introducing them to Jesus. By walking in the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. By commanding our circumstances around us. By taking every thought captive. Every thought captive to the obedience of the Christ. Before you speak something, it has to be a thought. Take that thought captive and then speak correctly. That's where the power is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Kelvin, do you mind sharing that testimony you shared about your coworker? Would that be all right? The one that you was, her husband was in a bad situation and you shared some things with her. Do you mind? Listen, how do we overcome? Yes, blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And this is a testimony of encouragement for all of us.